beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, proclaims the book of Genesis, and goes on to detail the creation of the world and all its inhabitants. The Bible expresses a religious concept held to be a literal description of the earth's beginnings by many religious fundamentalists. But can this concept be called scientific, and should it be taught in classrooms as well as, or even instead of, the generally accepted concept of evolution as the explanation for the origins of the earth and man? This is Frankly Speaking, and I'm Helen Ackerman at George Mason University. Biologists argue that there is no basis for calling creationism a science. Creationists reply that evolution is merely a theory, not proved. Creationists have not yet won the right to teach creationism in the schools, despite several legal battles, most notably in Arkansas, where the U.S. District Court found unconstitutional a state statute that required the equal teaching of evolution science and creation science. But recently, Virginia State Board of Education gave provisional approval to Liberty Baptist College biology graduates to teach in Virginia public schools. Liberty Baptist was founded by the Reverend Jerry Falwell and is dedicated to teaching what they call the scientific basis for biblical creationism. With me to discuss the implications of this argument is Dr. John Wilson, Associate Professor of Biology at George Mason University. Jay, much of this argument seems to be based on the meaning of words. For instance, what does science mean? Can creationism make a legitimate claim to the word?
Science refers to an activity whereby people involved in it produce verifiable, potentially falsifiable ideas about observations. If your ideas are not potentially falsifiable, you are not doing science. So that science does not talk about all knowledge, it talks about that which can be checked and tested, not only by the person doing it, but potentially by anyone else. To the extent that the creationists argue that their vision is correct and that they seek evidence to support it, but select that evidence, they are not doing science because they start from complete faith and then choose observations. A scientist would start with the observations, try to construct their ideas to fit them, and as they fit a theory, move on to more predicted observations and then go forth.
Do you feel that the creationists take every item that might disprove evolution and use it to support their own theory?
They have become sophisticated, and what they are generally putting forth is that the idea that there are two alternative explanations, creationism and evolution, and they are arguing that there is no other way of viewing the world than these two, that the evolutionary biologists are a monolithic representation of faith, there is no disagreement, and therefore anything which questions an evolutionary idea must be support for them. And that is where I would argue. There are ideas that we are testing within our field. We are not a monolith. We disagree with each other and we're changing. But almost everyone carrying on those arguments works from a basic understanding of evolution. We're just trying to make it a better understanding. And our arguments among each other is in no way supportive of the creationist arguments.
So you're not arguing that evolution is the be-all and end-all of explanation for the way the world began.
No, we will probably never know with absolute certainty anything about the world for the simple reason we have, as a statement of frustration over many years of inquiry, realized that you cannot absolutely and perfectly know the world. This is the thing that the philosophers have dropped on us, we have to cope with the nature of how humans know about the world. We can improve, we can get better, we can become more inclusive, we can be better at tying together the individual observations that we make. We seem to be constantly becoming better in this direction gives me confidence that it's an accurate way of proceeding. But we cannot obtain that absolute certainty. We can only know that we're not wrong. We keep trying to come up with hypotheses that are potentially wrong and saying, see, once again, we're not wrong. We're better than we were. And to claim that, it would be very comforting if we could be absolute, but it's a denial of our knowledge.
Now, when Darwin first proposed his theory, of course, it caused an enormous amount of dissension. And then it seemed that the theory was generally accepted by most biologists and was pursued in the way you're describing. And now, within the last 10 years, has risen this whole alternative of creationism. Why do you think it's now that this has arisen?
Actually, it never really went away. Just more problems became important, such as the Depression, World War II, the lack of comprehension of what was going on. But there has been a concerted effort on the part of some creationists to insert creationism in the schools in the last 10 to 15 years. It is a renewed activity by a certain set of people, but it is certainly nothing new, and they never really went away. Part of the strength, I would say, is the emotional wish for certainty, for lack of change in an audience. Unfortunately, that's not the world.
What are the implications of this latest decision in Virginia?
First of all, in Fairfax County, we probably won't be hiring people from Liberty Baptist. What it will mean is that in some areas, generally in smaller schools, probably unfortunately somewhat more rural, there will be some teaching of creationism. The most widespread effect will probably be that public school systems treat almost anything controversial by dropping the subject entirely. They will refuse to mention it in the classroom, and they are increasingly likely to purchase books that don't even talk about evolution. Therefore, it terribly impoverishes the study of biology. Biology without evolution becomes a multitude of separate little observations or facts and lacks the synthetic theory that ties everything together and leads you to new ideas and observations. It becomes a memory course, which is the dullest thing that you could possibly take.
Creationism is based on the Judeo-Christian explanation of the beginning of the world, but it's not all Christian religions that have a problem with this belief.
No, it's primarily Protestant fundamentalism that has a problem. Most of the more established Protestant sects, Catholicism, and even most of Judaism, has no real problem either with evolution or with science as a whole. They have become comfortable with science and religion as two alternative ways of the acquisition of human knowledge, and that in some sense perhaps both enrich, but they do not contradict one another. The reason the creationists see a conflict is that they, for their needs of social authority, have to have an absolute standard, a literal belief to support their view of correctness and authority. Therefore, anything that disagrees with their literal truth must be wrong. So I could argue all day with a creationist about my scientific observations. It will not move them because they disbelieve evolution because it contradicts something they have to believe. And they will never be reached because they are coming from another source.
Is there any real scientific research being done on creationism?
Very little. Certainly almost none in refereed journals, which is sort of a basis of science. It says that if I have an idea, if I do a series of observations, if I put them out, they will be reviewed by my peers. We will agree on what my observations mean, and I get published. Ideas different from the mainstream have perhaps a little more difficulty being published, but there are many journals that I know of that search out and love the new ideas, recognizing they may not be perfect. And so you cannot say just because, oh, they rejected me, they're all against me. We sit there looking for new ideas. We may trim them down, we may take some ideas off, or some sides off, but most people I meet at scientific meetings are looking for new ideas to expand their explanation of the world. We're not out there rejecting them and censoring.
If creationism was to be accepted as something to be taught in the classroom, what would it mean for students?
If it were taught well, I suspect it would lead to a demolishing of creationism because the impoverishment of their explanation of the world would be seen. However, most teachers are not capable of showing the alternatives, comprehending what is going on, because the evolution is believed by evolutionary biologists, not because each and every fact is known, is perfect, will never change, but it is the fact, or it is that a large number of separate observations tie together, fit together like a jigsaw puzzle. Periodically, ideas are shown to be less than totally perfect. We get better observations on them, but generally the new, more detailed observations are a better support for the synthetic theory than the old one. That it's the continued improvement and in continued expansion and inclusion of ideas that makes us believe that we keep learning more ideas. We keep fitting more together. The jigsaw puzzle doesn't have an edge. It just keeps getting larger. And it's that fact that we have been successful and continue to be successful that says this is a very useful way of pursuing knowledge.
Jay, thank you very much for being with us today to discuss this very interesting topic. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University, production coordinator Pat Ping. For information about our guest or this program, please call 323-2138. I'm Helen Ackerman at George Mason University, the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.